Good morning. It's good to be with you. A couple of things before we begin. As you know, we have a service next Sunday at 5 o'clock, and I've called it a congregational restoration service. You all, we at Glenkirk, have been through a lot in 10 years, and that has wounded our soul, individually and corporately. And so we're getting together to worship, to seek God's presence, to lay that stuff before the Lord so we can be free of it and we can take hold of the future he has for us. So I'm gonna really encourage you to join us. I encourage as much of the leadership to be present. And also I'm gonna ask if you could maybe set your phones to maybe 7 o'clock each evening and spend 15 minutes praying for God to visit us. Praying for the Lord to pour out his presence to us and to anoint us and lead that time together and give us the future that he has laid out for us. I would be grateful. And also, next week we begin our study in Experiencing God. There's over 300 books out there. We've ordered some more. I believe if you don't have one, you may want one. You should have one if you want to study along. And this is, I'm really excited about this study for you and for us as you have a new, deeper step in walking with God in your life. So, bless you. Looking forward to it. You can begin the study this week. You can wait for the sermon and then do the study after. There is no rule. So, it's whatever you think you want to do. So, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of the scriptures. God's Word. Hear the Word of God. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by dumb idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all of his people. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of those tongues. And all of these are the work of the one and same Spirit. And he gives them to each of us, just as he determines. This is the Word of God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is wrapping up our brief series on foundations, the foundations of disciples. As you know, I have been telling you, disciples do these things, but doing these things don't make you a disciple, because there's something in between that. A disciple, a follower of Christ, and in the mission statement, our commitment is to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And we've talked about a variety of things, but here I want to talk about the aspect of ministry and the giftings of the Spirit, that gifts that God gives us are not for ourselves, but they're gifts for us to pour into lives of others. So next slide, please. So the first thing that is the truth is we are called to do the impossible. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, when you think about that from a biblical term, a biblical sense, that is an impossibility for us to do on our own strength. Just if you think about it biblically, what does the scripture say that we are striving to do if we were to do it on our own strength? What has to be done in a human situation? Well, one of the first things to take a look at is just when you look at humanity and the insanity that's going out in the world, not just around the world, where common sense is seems to be not so common, and the mores of what has grounded us as a nation, the West, the Christian grounding is being uprooted. You take a look at what does Scripture say about what we're dealing with. To try and make a disciple in my own strength, I have to contend with some things that I'm not able to contend with. There's three of them: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the cosmos. The world is all of that which is set against the kingdom of God. It is about the pride of life and the arrogance and the self-absorption. It's my piece of pie at the expense of everyone else. It's about how much bling I have, how much wealth I have, how much fame I have, how much better I am for whatever reason than the individual next to me. The whole idea of the world economy and the world culture, and you look at you look around us and we see how it manifests. Lawlessness, violence, sin manifested in its rebellion against God with Adam and Eve in the garden, and then in the family immediately when Cain killed Abel. So we're dealing with the world, and the world's got its claws in us. It did in me. I was not very interested in the things of God when I was a young man. I did not realize that he had already bought me when I was younger, and I was the prodigal. I was sitting on the lawn. I was at Cypress College working on an AS degree. And a guy came up to me and sat down, and I didn't want to be bothered. And he said, can I share with you about how much God loves you? This is how hard my heart was. And I just really wanted to get rid of him, you know. And he had hair down to here, you know, which is okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that anymore, you know. But I knew one verse of the New Testament. And I opened it up to him. I said, hey, open your Bible to this verse. I said, could you read it for me? And he read these words: does not nature itself teach you that he who has long hair is a shame unto himself? That's how hard he got up with his, just walked away. I won that one. I won the skirmish, lost the war, because God got me. This whole hardness of heart in the world. And then there's the flesh. The sensuality, in America, just the proliferation of every perversion that you can see. Do you remember when we had video recording units with those tapes, right? How many remember? How many had a VHS player in their home, right? All right. How many had a Sony Betamax? Just a handful. Sony Betamax was much better than the VHS. Did you know this? In terms of quality. Do you know why the VHS won out? Because that's what was used by the porn industry. And that's why it became the common one. The world, the flesh. The flesh has to do, you take a look at it, hatred, anger, rage, vengeance, all the things are the works of the flesh. That's the world's view. You better get even. One of the things about the evil one is he never expects you to do things God's way. And so when you forgive someone, that's not in his wheelhouse. He doesn't understand forgiveness. He does not expect you to do what God asks you to do and be free of the entanglements. There was the world. There's the flesh. There's the devil. Satan himself, Lucifer. Humanity gave itself over and put ourselves under that lordship of him, the prince and power of the air, at the fall. Now, if I were to want to make a disciple, who am I to be able to deal with all of that? Now, when we look at the human condition from the scriptures, you know, some of us, apologetics, it's grounding, it's helpful. But theological arguments, religious arguments don't win anybody to Christ. And why is that? When you look at humanity before Christ, here's what Scripture says about them. First, they belong to the evil one. Before you, if you are either belong to Christ or you belong to the evil one, and all of humanity came under the power and control of the evil one. Humanity belongs to him. Their eyes are veiled, so you can speak the truth to an individual who doesn't know Christ, and unless God raises that, you will see it, and it makes perfect sense to you, and they can't see it. Their eyes are veiled. Paul says that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. So humanity is the enemy of God. God is not their enemy. God was never my enemy, but for a while I was his. And so when we talk about being called to do the impossible, we don't have the wherewithal to attend to all of those things. How do you take a human being who is under the authority and imprisoned by the evil one, who is dead? We sang it, though I'm breathing, I'm dead. So Scripture says they're dead. They're dead, but they're walking around, hence the zombie movies. But actually, what are they? They're dead to God and alive to sin. I was there. Why are we dead to God, humanity's dead, but alive to darkness? How does that work itself out? Don't you find it interesting that we amuse ourselves with vampires and werewolves and incredible violence and wickedness? Don't you find that sort of interesting? Those are the movies that the world gives us. You know, the word amuse is a Greek word. The word muse means to think. Amuse means to not think. And the thing the evil one wants is for you to not think. Goebbels, the head of propaganda of the Third Reich, said, "We want people to not think, we want them to feel." That's a quote. Because if you stop and think about what you're doing and think about what's being said and think about what Scripture says, then you move in a different direction. So you and I are called to an impossible task if we were to do it on our own. However, these gifts that are mentioned here, they are spiritual in nature, and they are given by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. So let's, and that is because the human condition is not just about socialization. It's just not about their psychology. All of that can be shifted when their spirit is brought into harmony with the living God. That's the amazing thing about Jesus Christ. Often your Bible will translate it, "Do you want to be healed?" But in the Greek, the word is whole. Do you want to be made whole? Jesus talked about being made whole. That is about attending to the body, attending to the spirit, attending to the mind, and the emotions, that we are, as individual beings, brought into harmony with the God who created us so that we can become like the one who created us. Do you want to be whole? So, spiritual gifts. Well, let's walk through these gifts for a little bit. And I don't know how much y'all know about them. It says there's different kinds of gifts, but this of the same spirit, and services. So, different kinds of services. Some are pastors, some are evangelists. Those are the services. They're listed in Romans and others. Prophets. But it's the same Lord. Different kinds of working. They work their way out. God is at work in different places in different ways, always to bring glory and people to Jesus. Now to each one is a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Notice that's the reason for it, is the common good. It's not for you and me to say, "Oh, I've got this gift." That's not how it works. It is a manifestation of God in us and through us for the good of the church, the good of the body, not the good of the institution, but the good of the people who walk with Christ, to lift them up, to draw them to him. Now, before I go any further, I want you to be aware that a person can have some real gifting and be spiritually immature. Let me run that again in a different way. Simply because someone is very gifted does not mean that they are spiritually mature. You got that? So when you see someone whose name is well known and they have this ministry and thousands of people are coming to Christ and people are getting healed, and then you find out there's something going on that's sinister in the background. It used to say, how does that work? It used to be my trouble. How does that work? You know? And some of you are going, God, if I'm really, really Christ-like, maybe I can get some more gifts, but that's not how it works. A gift is a gift. It's not earned. And it's given by God because God wants to use you in a certain way, in a certain situation. So the goal for Christian discipleship is that we are a living tree with producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. And the gifts of the Spirit are there too. How many of you, when you have a Christmas tree, have a real, a living Christmas tree, right? Smells nice, right? Imagine the individual, we're a living tree, and we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit in us, and also the gifts of the Spirit, both and. Now, in the mid-60s, there was this thing where they had aluminum trees with a rotating light on it. How many had one of those in your house? Come on, get the hands up. Yeah, it's okay. Everybody forgot about those. Dead tree. No fruit. But you could still put gifts on it. And so one of the things that I've come to sort of put this together is we are to be a living tree producing the fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit grows in us, and also be gifted for ministry. Now, one of the things I see in the church in America, all the churches, I've been around a lot of churches, is you have churches who are living, they love Jesus, y'all love Jesus, and you are godly, you're very Christ-like, the fruit of the Spirit is there, you're loving, you're joyful, you have, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is there, the character of Christ is there, but the church is withering. There's no gifting being used. See, the gifts of the Spirit are for the building up of the church, the expansion of the church, the empowering of the church. And so just because you are mature doesn't mean that the church is going to grow. And that's what these gifts are about. To be used by God in the lives of others so that they can come to know the Christ that you love. One of the fascinating things to me, and I'm guilty of it, I have to be very careful and try to be very attentive to it, is as we have been in the church longer and longer, our world gets smaller and smaller. So it's Sunday, my Bible study, my prayer group, and we just go around each week doing this, and that makes us a mature Christian. But we're not looking outside. We're not looking to connect with the world. We don't have any, as I call, serious sinners in our world that we can love on and share the good news with. That's what this is for. If you take a look at the book of Acts in the first 3 centuries of the church and anywhere around the world now where God is moving and people are coming to Christ. I read about a church recently in India, 300,000 members. Huh! It was a very interesting thing. God is at work. So what are some of the gifts? There's also, the first one is wisdom. How to discern to do what God would have us do. That's wisdom. What do you do in this situation? Wisdom is a gift from the Spirit. We're told if you're lacking it, ask for it. He wants to give it to you. And it comes not from our own experience, but Lord, what would you have? Give us wisdom for the future of our church. Give us wisdom for my family. Give me wisdom for this situation. Lord, give me wisdom for how to be in this situation. So one of the gifts is the gift of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. What is that? That's a word of knowledge. God tells you something about some person or some situation and informs you. And it could be all kinds of things. Over 20 years ago, I got a phone call from someone, very accomplished professional in the county. And he said, I need to see you. Can you get away and have lunch today? And it was like, that has never happened with this friend. And I said, I'll make it. Would you tell me where? And I hung up the phone. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, he's having an affair. He doesn't know what to do. So between that time and when I saw him at the restaurant, what did I do? What do you think I did? I prayed. I prayed for him. I prayed for his family. I prayed for wisdom. I prayed, and that's assuming I heard properly. So I got to the restaurant. I went in. I walked up. I greeted him. I sat down. I didn't sit down. He said, you know, I got to tell you, I'm having an affair. I don't know what to do. Exact words that God had spoken to me. So I wasn't surprised, and I was all prayed up, if you would, and had reflected on it. And so one of the things that God will give you is a word of knowledge about something. The next thing you need to ask yourself and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Because he may just want you to shut up and pray about it. You know, whatever you do, don't go telling somebody, the Lord told me. That's terribly manipulative, you know. If the Lord told you, it will come to pass. And so if the Lord doesn't give you any direction on what to do, just keep quiet and pray about what he's told you. So a word of knowledge, a message of knowledge. To another, the gift of faith. To believe God for the impossible. You got a situation, and faith is believing God not when you're sure, but when you can't see the way. Believing God when you're certain about things is not faith. It is not. Trusting someone is not, you trust them when the evidence says they're innocent. You trust them because you know them when the evidence is against them. I've seen so often in my life people whose the situation, all of the evidence and everything seemed to imply that they were not innocent, but it ended up they were. And so you have the gift of faith, gifts of healing. Now, one of the things that we have is, how does this work? And, you know, gifts of healing. I believe every disciple, everyone who names Christ ought to be praying for the sick, ought to be praying for the people that are hurting, ought to be praying for the people that have emotional wounds, ought to be praying for God to heal them. You know, they say, well, I don't know how. I'll do a seminar on how to do that, but you could start here. Help Jesus. Jesus, come and heal them. It would be surprising to you how that could open the door if you have a neighbor or a friend who says, I'm not feeling well. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. And when God's kindness shows up, that opens the heart of people. To another one, miraculous powers. That's miracles, signs and wonders we mentioned here. Signs point to that God is at work, wonders. I wonder how they did that. I wonder why he did that. You want a story? Okay, three people said yes. I've never said this publicly. It was about 10 years ago, and we had become part of ECO, my former church congregation, where I served for 30 years. And then we decided we were going to change the name of the church. And we had gone through 147 different names. It came down to two. One was Christ Pacific Church, which it now is called. And the other one was the younger people wanted it to be called Pepper Tree Church. We had this huge, beautiful pepper tree on the property, but we had never even mentioned it in, you know, my 30 years of being there. It was just the tree. But we had had an Advent event under it, and they lit it up, and it was pretty, and so they wanted to name it Pepper Tree. And it was literally dividing the congregation. You had those over here, Christ Pacific Church group, and they're looking at the Pepper Tree group, and they're saying, you don't want the name of Christ in our name? And some of them said, my friends won't come. That didn't help. And others, and over here, you're saying, our young people can't relate to the name you like. It was just horrible. It was just a heartache. What do you do? You know, you can call in the Presbyterian and get your peace, you know, negotiators there, and you can have general council meetings, and you can have the congregational meeting and go through all these. I didn't have time. So I asked, Lord, what should I do? And then the Lord spoke to me. And so on a Friday afternoon, Friday afternoon of the church is really quiet. It was really nice. It was really quiet. I went out to stood in front of the tree, beautiful tree. And I spoke, I said this aloud. I said, I am sorry, but you have become an idol that is destroying the congregation. So you have to go. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you with death. Now, how did Jesus do that to a tree? Yes, he did. So I went home and went to preach that weekend, came in. On Thursday, I think it was, my business administrator came flying in my office and said, you won't believe it. I said, what? She said, the arborist is here. The pepper tree is dying from the inside out. He's never seen it. He doesn't know what's causing it, but it has to be cut down today. And I said, really? I said, I guess if it has to go, it has to go. There was one woman in the church who's now with the Lord that came up to me. And she said, did you curse that tree? And I said, would I do that? God works miracles through his people. You just don't believe he'll do it through you. But that's the fun stuff. Is when God starts moving and you're part of it, and we're part of it as the church. See, I believe in the priesthood of believers. I believe every one of you. God wants to do more through you and in the lives of others than you could imagine. You see, you see me as, you know, the senior pastor guy with all this experience. Well, you know what I see behind my eyes? I see the young man sitting in a pew many years ago when the pastor said, turn to Romans, and an 80-year-old woman helped me find it because I didn't know where it was. That's the guy I see behind my eyes. To another miraculous powers, to another prophecy. Prophecy is speaking the word of God into a situation, and it's powerful. There was a prophetic movement I wasn't all too comfortable with in the last few years, but the office of prophet is still around, is still there. We have it's a study in itself, but someone who is gifted and can speak into something that God says, and it will come to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass, then you don't have to pay attention to them. That's enough said. The ability to distinguish the spirits, and you know, what is that, the discerning of spirits? Is this from God? Is this from the devil? Is this from me? How many have that question going on at times? You got this thought going on in your head. That is, well, let me just tell you, you go to pray and the most ungodly thought goes flying through your head. That's not you and it's not God. It's the devil coming whispering at your spirit. So just tell him to leave. But Lord, is this idea from you or from me or from the devil? If it isn't in harmony with the scriptures, it isn't God. So you don't want to go there. But it's a gift to discern what's going on here. It's a discerning of the spirits. Susan and I were sitting outside at a restaurant. A guy walked by, and then when he got to us, he got really weird. I won't tell you how. But Susan turned to me and said, "Wow, he's manifesting." Because we could see that he had a demon, and it was showing up in our presence. So, to another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues and pray in different kinds of tongues. It's unfortunate that the least of the gifts has caused so much angst in the church. If the gift is there, if it's a gift of God, I want it. That's my posture to this. God, give me that. And then also the interpretation of tongues. So the gifts of God's ministry is for God's ministry through two people through you. That's the purpose of the gifts. And so I want to encourage you, and it would be a long study, a great study on the gifts of the Spirit we might do. But if you have any of these giftings, God, how can I use this to serve you in the lives of others? Those are the purpose of these gifts. And for the body of Christ to be built up. You know, and so it is not a matter of for us to be spiritually looking at ourselves as superior because we have certain giftings. It is the Lord who manifests these in and through us, as is his good pleasure, for the circumstances before us, so that Christ might be glorified. That's the purpose of them. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your gifting and your Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray you would come upon every man and woman, every youth, every child in this building and are watching online. You come upon them with your Spirit and with fire and with your power. Lord, you would grow in them the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. And God, you may gift them for ministry, that the gifts of the Spirit would be released in us and through us. You would manifest them here so that they might be effective in fulfilling the call that you have on their lives. And to you be the glory and the power forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen.